महिमशा ततो ब्रह्मन् पुरुषस्य दुरत्तया सुमृतस्य भयशेषो मत्यम् अन्यम् तथा ययात् कयात् महिमशा ततो ब्रह्मन् पुरुषस्य दुरत्तया सुमृतस्य भयशेषो मर्त्यम् अन्नम् यदा त्यागात् महिमैषा ततो ब्रह्मन् पुरुषस्य दुरत्तया
सुमृतस्य भयशेषो
So, he, the Lord, Amritasya of deathlessness, Abhayasya of fearlessness, Isha, the controller, Martyam, dying, Annam, fruitive action, Yat, one who has, Atagyat, has transcendent. Mahima, the glories, Esha, of him, Tata, therefore, Brahman, O Brahmana Narada, Purushasya, of the Supreme Personality, Durataya, immeasurable. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of immortality and fearlessness. And he is transcendental to death and the fruitive actions of the material world. O Narada, O Brahmana, it is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person. Purport by His Divine Geshe-la Prabhupada. The glories of the Lord in the transcendental 75% of the Lord's internal potency are stated in the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. It is said there that those planets in the spiritual sky, which comprises the 75% expansion of the internal potency of the Lord, are far, far greater than those planets in the total universes composed of the external potency of the Lord. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the total universes in the external potency of the Lord are compared to a bucketful of mustard seeds. One mustard seed is calculated to be a universe itself. In one of the universes in which we are now living, the number of planets cannot be counted by human energy. And so how can we think of the sum total in all the universes, which are compared to a bucketful of mustard seeds? And the planets in the spiritual sky are at least three times the number of those in the material sky. Such planets, being spiritual, are in fact transcendental to the material modes. Therefore, they are constituted in the mode of unalloyed goodness only. The conception of spiritual bliss, Brahmanand, is fully present in those planets. Each of them is eternal, indestructible, and free from all kinds of limitations experienced in the material world. Each of them is self-illuminating and more powerfully dazzling than, even if we can imagine, the total sunshine of millions of mundane suns. The inhabitants of those planets are liberated from birth, death, old age, and diseases, and have full knowledge of everything. They are all godly and free from all sorts of material hankering. They have nothing to do there except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Narayan, who is the predominating deity of such Vaikunth planets. Those liberated souls are engaged incessantly in singing songs mentioned in the Samaveda, Veda Sangapada, Karmo Panishadair, Gayanti Yam Samaga. All of them are personifications of the Upanishads. Tripadvibhuti, or the 75% known as the internal potency of the Lord, is to be understood as the kingdom of God far beyond the material sky. And when we speak of Padabhibhuti, or the 25% comprising his external energy, we should understand that this refers to the sphere of the material world. It is also said in the Padma Purana that the kingdom of Tripadvibhuti is transcendental, whereas the Padabhibhuti is mundane. Tripadvibhuti is eternal, whereas the Padabhibhuti is transient. The Lord and his eternal servitors in the transcendental kingdom all have eternal forms, which are auspicious, infallible, spiritual, and eternally youthful. In other words, there is no birth, death, old age, and disease. That eternal land is full of transcendent enjoyment and full of beauty and bliss. This very fact is all collaborated in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, and the transcendental nature is described as Amrita, as described in the Vedas. Uta Amrita Uttava Sesha Senaha. The Supreme Lord is the Lord of immortality, or in other words, the Lord is immortal, and because he is the Lord of immortality, he can award immortality to his devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.16, the Lord also assures that whoever may go to his abode of immortality shall never return to this mortal land of threefold miseries. The Lord is not like the mundane Lord. The mundane master or Lord never enjoys equally with his subordinates. Nor is the mundane Lord immortal, nor can he award immortality to his subordinate. The Supreme Lord, who is the leader of all living entities, can award all the qualities of his personality onto his devotees, including immortality and spiritual bliss. In the material world, there is always anxiety or fearlessness in the hearts of all living entities. But the Lord, being himself the supreme fearless, also awards the same quality of fearlessness to his pure devotees. Mundane existence is itself a kind of fear, because in all mundane bodies, the effects of birth, death, old age, and disease always keep a living entity compact in fear. In the mundane world, there's always the influence of time, which changes things from one stage to another, and the living entity, originally being avikara or unchangeable, suffers a great deal on account of changes due to the influence of time. The changing effects of eternal time are conspicuously absent in the immortal kingdom of God, which should therefore be understood to have no influence of time and therefore no fear whatsoever. In the material world, so-called happiness is the result of one's own work. One can become a rich man by dint of one's own hard work, labor, and there are always fear and doubts as to the duration of such acquired happiness. But the kingdom of God, no one has to endeavor to attain a standard of happiness. Happiness is the nature of the spirit, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, Anandamayo Vyasat. The spirit is by nature full of happiness. Happiness in spiritual nature always increases in volume with the new phase of appreciation. There's no question of decreasing the bliss. Such unalloyed spiritual bliss is nowhere to be found within the orbit of the material universe, including the Janaloka planets, or for that matter, the Mahaloka or Satyaloka planets. Because even Lord Brahma is subject to the laws of fruitive actions and the laws of birth and death. It is therefore stated here, Durataya, or in other words, spiritual happiness in the eternal kingdom of God cannot be imagined even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis who are eligible to be promoted to the planets beyond the region of heaven. Or the greatness of the Supreme Lord is so great that it cannot be imagined even by the great brahmacharis or sannyasis. But such happiness is factually attained by the unalloyed devotees of the Lord by his divine grace. ॐ अज्ञान्तिभिनन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा मदाख्यं ददाति स्वपदिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुक्तपदकलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश श्रीरूपं सागरजातं सहगणा रघुनाथं तं वीतं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावभूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहनलितासी विशाखावतं च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्त नमोस्तुते तप्तकञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामी हरिप्रिये
పావనిభ్యో వైష్ణవిభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాస్ ఆది కౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ. So thank you to all of you all for assembling for Srimad Bhagavatam class today. So in this verse which we are discussing, the concept of immortality is being talked about. Now when we talk of the concept of immortality, the classic example given in the scriptures is that of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he did severe tapasya. Why? So that he wanted to become immortal. And after doing so much severe tapasya, Brahma ji had to come down and ask Hiranyakashipu, okay, by ask mango kya chahiye aapko, you know, what boon do you want? So Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to be immortal. So what did he say? He said that, Lord, to Brahma ji, that please see that I do not get death from anyone who is created by you. Please see that I do not get death in day or in night. I should not die inside any residence or outside any residence. I should not die in air or on land. I should not die with any weapon, because of any weapon. And I should not die because of on the hands of a human being or an animal, or by a demon or a demigod. And he kept on putting such conditions. And Brahmaji told, okay, tatastu. Brahmaji, give those boons. So Hiranyakashipu thought he had become immortal. So many conditions. But Hindi mein bolte na, koi sher to Bhagwan sava sher. So Hiranyakashipu thought, you know, he's got what he wanted. But then he started troubling Prahlad Maharaj's son. He started giving a lot of trouble. And he wanted to kill Prahlad. And in the end, Hiranyakashipu was so frustrated. In his palace, he asked Prahlad, where is your Lord Vishnu? Prahlad said, he's everywhere. And Hiranyakashipu said, is the Lord in this pillar? Prahlad said, yes. And Hiranyakashipu, with his fist, he broke the pillar. And there, Lord Narsingdev came out. And Lord Narsingdev, keeping all the boons intact of Brahmaji, still he killed Hiranyakashipu. So we have to understand that no one can be immortal in this world. We have to understand that any person who has taken birth in this material world, one day he will have to leave this body and progress further. Now when we are talking of this, on the topic of death, immortality, I came across a very nice article by Indradumna Maharaj. Sorry. His Holiness Indradumna Maharaj is a senior sannyasi disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So he does various festivals in Poland during summer. He goes to many of the towns and cities and does Hare Krishna festivals in the evening. And what they do is, in the morning, wherever in the evening they want to do a program, in the morning, especially in the beaches, the devotees with Indradumna Maharaj, they do go around doing kirtan and they distribute pamphlets advertising the evening's program. So once Indradumna Maharaj and the devotees in the morning, they were going on the beach. And as they entered the beach with the Harinam kirtan, Indradumna Maharaj observed that there was an old man with his guitar. He was singing and he was crying. So Indradumna Maharaj, every year he keeps on coming to the same place. So he recognized that face of that person who was crying. So as Indradumna Maharaj and his devotees went forward, Indradumna Maharaj called one of his disciples and told his disciples that, you please go to that old man. He's crying. He may be little going in some type of agony. Please find out what is his trouble and try to help him out. So this disciple went to that old person. And after some time, this disciple comes back to Indradumna Maharaj and says, Gurudev, this person I met, actually for many, many years, he had one friend and both of them would be singing in the beach during the summer, and through singing they would collect whatever money and sustain themselves. They were very poor people. And these two were friends for many, many years. But last night, this friend died of a heart attack.
So today, this person is singing alone. He's singing alone, remembering his friend. And so Maharaj asked, did you console him? What did you do? So this disciple told Maharaj, Maharaj, actually, this person somehow had bought one of Prabhupada's books. And he read that book from the first page to the last page in detail. And he was telling me that I know my friend died last night. And I know that he is continuing in his onward journey as per Prabhupada's book. And this disciple told Maharaj that, Maharaj, this friend who is singing, he has composed a song in the memory of his friend. And I would like, and I recorded that song. I will play it for you, Maharaj. And that song, I will read to you. This person, he was singing that song. And this is the song he was singing. Oh brothers, come forward. I will reveal to you a secret. How to perceive this world through a song of grace. That reveals beyond the shadow of darkness, the light of Him who gives the gift of love. Which removes the pain of those we have lost. Oh brothers all, raise your voices and sing along. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this person, he had composed this song. And he said, since morning I'm singing and the whole day. For the whole of summer, for all the months of summer, I'll be singing this song the full day. And practically the major, most portion of the song is the Mahamantra. Probably at the end of the day, he would be completing more than 16 rounds, you know, maybe. Huh? So the thing is, just see the grace. I'm like, when I read this article, I was reflecting on many things. One thing is the compassion nature of Indadumna Maharaj. I mean, a Vaishnava is so compassionate. Indadumna just crossed him and Maharaj saw him sad. And Maharaj immediately sent one of the disciples that, please go, find out what's wrong with him, what's troubling him, and help him out. So, actually, it's the compassion, the soft heart of a Vaishnava, that is our hope of reconditioned souls. Huh? I mean, it's, if you see our own lives, when we have gone through troubles and troubling times, through challenges, it is always that compassionate heart, that soft heart of a Vaishnava, through their advice, through their putting the hand on the shoulder, through hugging us, keeps on inspiring us in our spiritual life. Then, so when we are speaking on this topic of immortality, death, now Krishna is always encouraging us to come back to His immortal abode, the spiritual world. Always encouraging us. But what is preventing us from going to this immortal abode, the spiritual? What is preventing us? The main thing preventing us is our own material desires, to want to enjoy separate of Krishna. This is the main thing which is keeping us bound, birth after birth in this material world. Even as devotees, even as sadhakas. And the thing is, we have to understand, we have to keep Krishna number one in our life. But even as sadhakas, as per situation, sometimes we keep Krishna number one, sometimes number two, sometimes number three. Again, from sometimes number three, we bring him to number one, and we're fluctuating as per given circumstances. But if we want Krishna, we have to be greedy for him. We have to long for him more than our very life. When Krishna sees that eagerness and this longing in our heart, he helps us and encourages us on the spiritual journey. And we have to understand, nothing in life comes easy. No pain, no gain. So if we want to go to that spiritual abode, we have to put the required effort. We have to put that required effort. In Kali Yuga, we are little, you know, we are Kali Yuga products. We have this one big disease in us, lethargy. We want good things, but without putting much effort. But no. We want to go to the eternal abode of Lord Krishna, the school of Vrindavan, we have to be ready to put the required efforts. And we have to understand that spiritual life is not a hobby. It is a responsibility. Hobby is something which we do when we want, when we feel like doing it, like that. But we have to understand, spirituality is the supreme, topmost responsibility of every human being.
For example, say if a mother, through the whole day, she has worked very hard, she is very tired, and she has gone to sleep. And her young son, or just young small son, in the middle of the night starts crying. Baby, you can say, her young baby starts crying. Mother is tired. Will the mother feel, say that, oh, I don't feel like now getting up and trying to pacify my child? No. The mother, however tired, however externally she is down, tired, she'll still get up because it is her responsibility. She'll get up, pick up that baby and try to feed the baby and, you know, make the baby stop crying. So the same way we have to understand that spiritual life is the topmost responsibility of every human being. In Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj is mentioned. And when you read the translation, the purport, a very nice thing is mentioned there. When Dhruva Maharaj, he came back and he had become an adult, and he had attained a lot of maturity, and he was of a marriageable age. Then his father, King Uttanapad, made Dhruva Maharaj the king, and he immediately left for the forest for self-realization. King Uttanapad was a Raja Rishi. Now, it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that normally a father, he would like to see the marriage of his children in front of him. But in this case, King Uttanapad, he put Dhruva Maharaj on the throne, and in spite of Dhruva Maharaj being of a marriageable age, King Uttanapad did not wait for the marriage. He immediately left for the forest for self-realization, never to come back. Acharya's Bhagavatam tell us that the number one, the most important thing is our spiritual life, our spiritual activities. Nothing takes precedent over spiritual matters. Nothing. Of course, we have to understand this story of Dhruva Maharaj in the right context and in the right spirit. If you want to do something, we will find the reason to do it. If you do not want to do something, we will find the reason not to do it. Where there's a will, there's a way. And we have ample experience of this. Huh? Say something, you know, something we don't want to do, and someone tells, Prabhuji, karenge, karenge. No, we give reasons, no, I can't do this, do that. And after that, someone tells us, are idhar aane ka hai kya? And if we like that, we'll somehow adjust ourselves, take our time to do that. So again, we have to understand, for spiritual matters, we somehow have to make things going. And in bhakti, the salary may be less, but retirement plan is out of the world. Kya hota hai? Especially if we are very much conditioned in a spiritual, if we are very much materially conditioned, and when we come to spiritual life, and we take up to spiritual life sometimes is more of a tapasya because of purification. And we tell Prabhuji, kuch bliss nahi mil raha hai, hamesha mala karte raho, kitab padhte raho, kirtan mein aate raho, but us spiritual bliss nahi aa raha hai. We don't get the spiritual bliss or the spiritual happiness as per the way we expect it. That's because of a lot of our conditioning is there. But we should understand that, okay, as we are continuing the process of bhakti, we may not get the salary of the spiritual bliss as the way we want it. But after we give up this body, the retirement plan in the spiritual world is it's just out of the world. It's total bliss. Then, in the translation of this verse, there is mention of fearlessness too. Now, one of the greatest fear in this material world is the fear of death. Now, this pastime of Hiranyakashipu, which we discussed earlier, if you study in detail this pastime, you can see Hiranyakashipu, he had so much wealth, name, fame, power. And Prahlad Maharaj, he was just a simple boy. But if it was asked that out of the two, who was more fearless? Out of the two, who was more fearless? Obviously, the answer is Prahlad Maharaj. Why was Prahlad Maharaj more fearless? Because of Prahlad Maharaj's complete surrender and faith in the Supreme Lord. And when we identify ourselves with this material body, the concept of fearfulness, fear comes in. In the scriptures, you see the example of Kamsa. Kamsa again, so powerful, so much wealth, name, fame. But because he was on the bodily concept, he was always fearful. Fearful that Krishna could kill him anytime. And because of that, he would be always constantly sending demons to Vrindavan to kill Krishna. Why Kamsa, in spite of being so much power, so much powerful, so much name, fame, still fearless, still fearful? Because he was on the bodily concept of life. And when you speak of fearfulness, it is when we go deep in our Krishna consciousness, we become fearless. There's an example of Gadadhar. Once Gadadhar, he entered the house of Qazi in midnight. The Qazi was a local Muslim administrator, a very powerful person. Gadadhar just entered the house in midnight and started shouting, "Qazi, come out and take the name of Hari." You know, all the people in the house of the Qazi were just too shocked to give any reaction. And Qazi was just getting up, and he comes and sees there. He's been told, "Qazi, come out and chant the name of Hari." So Qazi told to Gadadhar, "Gadadhar, I will chant the name of Hari tomorrow." And Gadadhar, he started dancing. He said, "What, tomorrow? You have already taken the name of Hari." And dancingly went out of the house. We cannot imitate, you know. We can't go to, you know, one of the Muslim countries and just walk in the president's house and, you know. But, you know, Gadadhar, because of his deep Krishna consciousness, he had that fearlessness in him. Then, another example is that of Haridas Thakur. Again, because of his so deep Krishna consciousness, he was fearless. The local governor, the Qazi there, there were some envious people who had complained against Haridas Thakur. Then Haridas Thakur had complained to the Qazi regarding Haridas Thakur. So this Qazi told Haridas Thakur that, "Please stop this chanting of the holy name. Please stop preaching this holy name." And what does Haridas Thakur say? He said, "Even if you cut my body in thousands of pieces, from each body the Mahamantra will come out." Fearless. And we know that, you know, even though he was beaten up, when Haridas Thakur, he was given the punishment of being beaten up, and then later on, the whole story is that he was so fearless and he was so Krishna conscious. Because of that, he radiated this fearlessness. And we study the example and life of Srila Prabhupada. His full life, so bold, so fearless. Srila Prabhupada's whole life can be summed up as total fearlessness and fully surrendered to Krishna. And when you're talking of fearlessness, there's one story. Once one boy, he was studying in the 6th standard. And he wanted to go in the 7th standard and he wanted to take admission in another school. The other school was Army Public School. So he was studying the 6th standard in another school and he wanted to take admission in 7th standard Army Public School. But the problem was that there were very few seats in standard 7 and there were many, many applications which had come. So one colonel and one senior officer both organized an interview of all the students who wanted to come for standard, take admission for standard 7. So in the interview, all the parents were asked to stay outside, and this colonel and this army officer were inside the room, and they were calling each boy one by one and interviewing. So this is a true story. So one boy, he was called in, and the colonel, big army officer, told this boy, "Do something different and show me. Kuch alag karke dikha mujhe." So this boy, he slapped the colonel. Real true story, he slapped the colonel. So the colonel was into a shock to try to understand what's happening, but it was not the fault of the boy. The colonel had told by, "Kuch alag karke dikhao, kuch atrangik karke dikhao." So the colonel, after regaining his little consciousness, he became happy. And he told the boy, "Your admission is confirmed." He told the boy, "In such a young age, if you can show so much boldness and so much fearfulness, I can imagine when you grow up and become an army officer, what type of boldness and fearfulness you will demonstrate. Admission is confirmed. And guess, this boy, when he became big, he is a devotee now. And he is a brahmachari. Imagine, and he's preaching this. You can imagine a person who could slap a colonel at standard 7. What type of fearfulness, with what type of boldness he's preaching. He's just fearless in his preaching. So again, the thing is, to the degree we are Krishna conscious, to that degree we'll exhibit this power of fearlessness. And in the purport of this verse, Prabhupada mentions, in the mundane world, there's always the influence of time, which changes things from one stage to another. Basically, we have to understand that as the passage of time goes, our health, our body deteriorates. And we have to understand that nothing in this world is constant. Things will always keep on deteriorating. But we have to understand that in the spiritual world, in the eternal abode of Lord Krishna, there's no concept of time. There's nothing which deteriorates. You always have a young, youthful body and can always serve Krishna in your best capacity. One of Srila Prabhupada's senior sannyasi disciple, he made a very nice statement. He said, the only place of safety is in constant remembrance of Krishna. I repeat, the only place of safety is in constant remembrance of Krishna. And when we're talking of fearlessness, and we're discussing that when you're deep in your Krishna consciousness, you have this quality of fearlessness. When you study what happened in Russia, this is in the Iron Curtain days, when Russia was very, very strict. The devotees there, if they were caught, they were put in torture. We know the history of Sarva Bhavana Prabhu. When he was caught by the secret police there, he was put in the prison. And he was tortured, like he writes in his book, The Salted Bread, that in the prison, sometimes the jail authorities, they would put his hand, you know, the jail gates were made of, the prison cells, they were made of iron dough. And sometimes his hand would be forcefully, 5-6 people would catch his hand, put it between the iron dough. And they would close the iron dough. And his hand would almost get like a sandwich. And would be bleeding. And the jail authority said to him, to Sarva Bhavana Prabhu, you just sign a letter that you will not practice Krishna consciousness ever and we will let you out. But Sarva Bhavana Prabhu said, no, I will not sign this letter. I will continue my practice of Krishna consciousness. And sometimes through the torture he would be so weak, he would not have enough strength to walk. He would have to catch the side of the wall of the prison and walk and go to the required place. But he never gave up his Krishna consciousness. He was fearless. Again, why such fearlessness? Because of his deep Krishna consciousness. I came this across a very nice line. When the root is deep, there is no reason to fear the wind. When the root is deep, there is no reason to fear the wind. Again, if we are deep in a Krishna consciousness, whatever challenges, struggles we come, will stand high and will come out success. And when we are talking of Krishna consciousness, we should also train our children to be Krishna conscious. Because we have to understand the future of this world is our youth. We have to train our children in Krishna consciousness and make them fearless also. So to the degree, again, our children are Krishna conscious, to that degree, they'll also become fearless in their lives. When you're talking of this, when you're talking of children and the concept of, fearlessness, and I came across a very amazing boy. His name is Om. He's 8 years old. And he stays in a place called Edison in USA. He chants every day 6 rounds. And every day he gets up in the morning and does Mangal Arati. Every day. And nothing in his mouth goes without thanking Krishna. Nothing in his mouth goes without thanking Krishna. And when he goes to New Vrindavan, which is, a few hours drive. When he goes to New Vrindavan temple
And when his parents said that, Om, we have to leave now, Om starts crying. He says, no, I don't want to leave the temple. He wants to stay. But somehow they have to leave. And one day, Om, when his father had picked him up and was dropping him, taking him back to the home, Om was telling to his father that, Papa, today I'm very happy. I've got no homework. So his father said, Why like that? Why are you so happy you have no homework? Om was saying, because today I can get more time for my Krishna consciousness at home. And this boy Om, he loves to hear His Holiness Radhat Maharaj's lectures. And there's another speaker who is one of his favorite speakers. None of you in the class will ever be able to guess who is this another favorite speaker of his. That is Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. 8-year-old boy. And when he hears recorded lectures of Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he hears for 2-3 hours at a time, at a stretch. And the thing is, in the evening, every day in the evening, his mother attends a Bhagavatam class on Zoom with other senior Matajis. And Om, this 8-year-old boy, also sits with his mother, hears the full lecture, and he participates and he answers various questions. And another thing, he's so deep in his Krishna consciousness, this boy. And this boy, in the evening, very often he sings bhajans on his harmonium and he's memorized many bhajans and many slokas. And guess, when this boy becomes bored at home, what does he do? Again, I don't think anyone will be able to guess. When this boy becomes bored at home, he wants to read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, this, you know, when I was hearing about him, I was thinking, am I reading through Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, for a great personality child? This is just amazing. And when he comes to his parents are of Indian origin, and they are settled in abroad, USA. But when he comes back to India, when he comes to his grandparents' house, 8-year-old boy, when relatives and guests come, he talks to them very nicely. And then he starts talking about Krishna consciousness to them. Like a very mature person. And somehow, you know, some children, even though sometimes they're devotees, they are attached to what? Watching cartoons, you know, Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck. Nowadays, I don't know what is this Pokemon and Doraemon. They've come in the recent years, you know. Children just want to watch. And somehow this boy, Om, is not interested in watching these cartoons. And the thing is, he gets very good grades in his school and is very well behaved. The teachers appreciate him for his behavior. Yeah. So, you know, someone connected me to them. And the parents, they connected to me on Zoom. They were telling me, Prabhuji, we have a problem. I asked, what is the problem? They're saying, Prabhuji, we don't know how to handle his Krishna consciousness. He's so hungry for Krishna, we just don't know how to do it. So somehow they got in touch with him and said, Prabhuji, please help us. So I spoke to the boy also on the Zoom. I spoke to the parents, you know, boy, just amazing. And the thing is, see, these parents, the way they're born and brought up, the mother is a doctor. She told me that, Prabhuji, even though I have to leave my job, I'm ready to do it for the Krishna consciousness of my child. So the thing is, again, if you want a child to be Krishna conscious, is the sacrifice of the parents. The parents have to have that mindset, okay, to go every mile to make our children Krishna consciousness. So this boy, I just told these parents, just do what you're doing, that is good enough. Don't worry. Just continue, just see that what he's doing, that's good enough. And when I asked this boy, when you want to become big, what do you want to become? He said, I want to become a preacher when I grow up. So, amazing story. So, Then in the purport also, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, in the translation of this verse, in the last line, it is mentioned, it is therefore difficult to measure the glories of the Supreme Person. Now, we know that Anant Seshji, through his thousands and thousands of minds, since time immemorial, is just glorifying Krishna. And it's just glorifying. So the thing is, Krishna, our Supreme Lord Krishna, he has so many glorious qualities. And when we hear these qualities of a Supreme Loving Lord Krishna, it helps us to purify ourselves. It helps us to come
closer to Him. And when you speak of the glories of the Lord is so glorious. There's so many instances in the scriptures to show His glory, to speak of His glory. The story of Putna. Putna had come to kill Lord Krishna. But Lord Krishna, killed Putna. But after killing Putna, Lord Krishna gave Putna the position of that of a mother in the spiritual world. Just see how glory, how compassionate is Lord Krishna. Any person who's come to destroy someone and the other person gives him the supreme gift in the spiritual world. Then when we are talking of Lord Krishna's mercy, the Lord's magnanimous, the Lord's mercy, there's an amazing story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is mentioned that once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivast Thakur, they were walking on the outskirts of Navdeep. And when they were walking on the outskirts of Navdeep, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srivast Thakur, they were crossing a house. And that house was that of a drunkard. This drunkard, with his friends, they were drinking a lot of alcohol in the house. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crossed, the smell of the liquor came. So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smelled this liquor, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went in the mood of Lord Balramji. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered Varuni and went in the mood of Lord Balram. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srivast Thakur, I'm going to walk into this house right now and I'm going to deliver all these people. Then Srivast Thakur held the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Lord, please don't go in, because if you go in, the people, they will not understand you properly. They will misunderstand you. They will criticize you. And if they criticize you, they will be more doomed in this material world. Please do not go, my Lord. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, Srivast Thakur, since you are saying, I will not go in. So Srivast Thakur, he started walking away from that house. As Srivast Thakur started walking away from that house, one of the drunkards from inside the house, through the window, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the holy name of the Lord and walking. So one of the drunkards, he told to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, oh Nimai, you're singing very well. You're a very good boy. You sing very well. And this drunkard started clapping and taking the Mahamantra. And as he started clapping, taking the Mahamantra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned his head back and just glanced at this drunkard. And just by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's glance, this drunkard started clapping more louder and started singing the holy name more enthusiastically. And this drunkard came outside his house and was dancing in ecstatic love. In pure love of God, he was chanting the holy name. When his other drunkard friends, they saw this friend dancing and taking the name of the Lord, the other drunkards also came outside the house and they also started chanting the Mahamantra and dancing. And they were also dancing in pure love. They were taking the name, holy name, in pure love and dancing. When Srivast Thakur saw this, when he saw that all these drunkards in pure love of, in the pure heart, were chanting the holy name, Srivast Thakur just wept tears. Srivast Thakur just started crying, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's such magnanimous, such mercy. So when we talk of the glories of the Lord, the Lord has so many glorious qualities and glorious leelas. When we meditate on them, hear them, our hearts become purified and we attain pure love of Godhead. And the more one loves Krishna, the more he can't stay without Krishna. The more one loves Krishna, the more one can't stay without Krishna. Indradumna Maharaj, in one of his lectures, he made a very nice statement. He said, Krishna's mercy is greater than our disqualification. What? Krishna's mercy is greater than our disqualification. Such statements should give up hope. Should give us hope. But that does not mean I'm sab cheez chhod ke Bhagwan ka kripa hai. Ho jayega sab. We have to do our needful also. We have to put in our required efforts too. Then Krishna's, leelas, everything so sweet. There's one such leela. Krishna, when he was small in Vrindavan, Krishna is a small boy in Vrindavan, he would roam around in Vrindavan. And On various occasions, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, and other demigods would come and take darshan of Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna knew this. So one day, a small Krishna, he was walking in Vrindavan. And Krishna sensed that Brahmaji and other demigods are coming to meet him. So immediately Krishna, he was holding something, he hid behind himself. And when Brahmaji and other demigods came there, they saw that Krishna is trying to hide something behind his back. So Brahmaji and other demigods paid their dandavats. Then Brahmaji told Lord Krishna that, "My dear Lord, we are your eternal servants. You are a supreme master. But you are trying to hide something. If you so desire, if you so wish, can you tell us what you are trying to hide from us? If you so desire, it's up to you." Then Lord Krishna, very slowly, from behind his back, he takes out something in his hand. And what is that? A small mud pot. Bit little buttermilk in that. Huh? That small mud pot had little chas. And Krishna, he was trying to hide that. And slowly he brought it in front of and showed the demigods. When Brahmaji and the demigods saw what Krishna was trying to hide, Brahmaji and the demigods almost fainted. What is, you know? Then Brahmaji, you know, he requested the Lord. He said to the Lord, "You are trying to hide this thing from us." Lord said, "Yes, I was trying to hide this because, you know, I had to work very hard to get this. I had to dance in front of the gopis for 2 hours, and then after that I got this little charge, you know. So I'm trying to, you know, just trying to keep it for myself." It was such a sweet pastime. So the Lord, when we hear such sweet pastimes of the Lord, it purifies us and it helps us to achieve prem for Lord Krishna. So this time up, so 9:15. So if anyone has any questions, maybe you can approach me after this class. So thank you for this for hearing patiently. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.